Document Bali. Which is that we're up to the Mishnah and we're waiting for Sabah Josh to begin the festivity. Continuing on now with our switch in the content of the parak, in which we began talking about what the din is of, as we said, Alibitosis, the din of what occurs on Erev Shabbos. So we spoke about the Hadlokas on there, we spoke about the question of the oil that's caught underneath in there, the Tzotzot, and questions of whether Hatzolah or Bitufuin and Malachto is considered to be all right. Now the question is, as we introduced yesterday in our segue to this Mishnah, the real machlokas about the nature of mukta between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll find there's also a number of subshikot in this machloket. And the Mishnah opens with the discussion of two elements of mukta, one of which is mi'us, because a standard ner is a ner that's made out of cheres, and cheres used once for a lamp becomes filthy and disgusting. I mean, it gets a film of soot and absorbs the old oil in it. You wouldn't want to use it for anything else. Also, of course, there's a problem of lighting a fire on Shabbos. When you have something burning, you have to be very careful not to put it out. And therefore, while it's involved in doing what it's doing, it's going to be mukt and matna asur, because you're unable to be mistapek. You can't take shemen out of it because you're going to be mechada, which means that during the time that it's burning, there's always going to be this extra problem. The question is, does that isur create already a mukta because you're mikatse et midatka? You put it out of mind, because it cannot be used. There's also another question which is involved, which is the fact that anything which is being doing a pu'ula for something which is usur is already a basis, considered to be a base for that. Here, the entire ner, let's imagine a case where you have a pamut, and that pamut now is holding something. The pamut itself isn't burning. Talk about mutzamak mesisur. The pamut is holding something which is burning, so it's underneath the shalheva, the area of the wick that's burning. So we also have an additional problem that is here sort of under wraps, which is the question of basisa davarasa. So actually, this Mishnah is going to break open the elements of the sugya of mukta. And we already introduced earlier the fact that there seems to be two fundamentally different types of things that we call mukta. One is the idea of eno min hamufan. That is to say that it's something which I have not actively set aside, and I have not even, in terms of my intent necessarily, I haven't even thought about it. It's a non-issue to me. So it's not mukhan for use. There's also something which is something that I have set aside, either physically, where for all intents and purposes I set it aside, such as muksamat misfisaron kis, where I have something that's very valuable and I don't like it exposed in a place where the kids are going to get it and so on. So my shkita knife or something like that, where I actively and physically set it aside, the things which I mentally set aside. But there's also an in-between category. That in-between category are anything that would be generally used for non-Shabbat purposes, but can still be used for other purposes if you want. And here we get into the difference between what type of lamp we're using. If I have a lamp, I can certainly, if I don't light the lamp for Shabbat, I certainly use this lamp for storing chocolate. It's not the first thing that would come to mind, but if Lamaisa, I would like to do something unique and I want to decorate my table and give it some type of Indian ambience or something, I may take a lamp, fill it with chocolate, and what's wrong with that? I certainly still use it on Shabbos for other things. And that's the difference between a Kalisha Malachtola Yisur and a Kalisha Malachtola Heter. So that there's a middle stage in which I am allowed to move something for purposes that it is usable on Shabbat, but which reverts to a default position of non-usability if I don't have that specific intent to use it for something else. And then there's the middle issue of how about if I just need to get it out of the way, which is because of its mokum. So you can see there's, again, a broad spectrum of issues that we call mukta. As we said, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of mukta, and believe it or not, that's how we pass it. So all of the very complicated dinim of mukta, except really for one or two, as we'll see, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. So imagine what things would look like if we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We got to say, that's not the way it is. Instead of one book of mukta, well, actually, it's the distinctions that make it so complicated. It would be much easier if it was just the original mukta. Don't touch anything or move anything on Shabbos, and that's all. It's in a straitjacket. But these distinctions are going to concern us now throughout the Mishnah, but really. All right, so we begin with the obvious discussion of Muksa Machmas Bi'us and Muksa Machmas Isur, and we have the Sabrosa discussion of the Basis Dover HaAsur, which is really inherent in the Mishnah. Ultimately, we end up breaking it open. So Metavelim Ner Chadash, you can move around on Shabbat a new lamp. And a stam lamp, when we use the word lamp, we're talking about something that's made out of pottery. Here it's never been used, and therefore it has all types of potentialities in it. And you can move it around, even though it clearly is a lamp. Now, it well may well be that you can only move it around, even according to Rabbi Shimon, for a purpose. In other words, what we call muksa is not the part in which you move something letzorach mekomo or letzorach gufo. We like to think of that as muksa, but that's actually in the Gemara pre-muksa discussion. Because in general, I mean, we even have a concept which is don't move things for no purpose. Just don't stop move something around, as we'll see. Or don't move something that's not for its purpose, as we talked about earlier. Those are not the things that are generally called muksa. That's just dinim afilto. We include it under this whole umbrella called muksa. When Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to be metalto kol aneirot, because it doesn't necessarily mean you're allowed to be metalto, even shalol tzorach gufo or shalol tzorach mekomo. He may agree that you need to move it, as many Rishonim say. Doesn't mean you can move it stop. You can move it to use it. And we say here, therefore, metalto ner chadash, again, doesn't necessarily mean casually. I want to play ball with it or something. It's a gufo use of the kli, or I need to move it for some purpose. Avalo yashan. But having once been used, it's not really usable for anything else because it's ma'us. You wouldn't use it to put chocolates into. And therefore, it becomes now mukse machmat isur, which is a specific status of being set away, the katzot, set away, it comes from the word katze also. In other words, it's at the extremities. It's no longer part of your view of usable objects because it's disgusting. Rabbi Shimon Omer, I don't agree with that, says Rabbi Shimon. I don't believe that mo'us is necessarily sufficient setting aside to be called actively mo'us. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It doesn't make it something that's out of sight, out of mind. You're planning on using it anyway for lighting purposes, so why not other things? So Rabbi Shimon Omer, call it out to the top of it, there's no problem. I don't care if it's a used ner shokeres. There's one thing, however, I agree. Chutz min haner hadolek b'Shabbat. You cannot use a ner while it is burning on Shabbat. Now, this means, ultimately, that you can't use it even where you're not going to be over on Isser of Mechaber, as we'll see. In other words, for instance, in the case we had earlier, the Shemin in the Ka'ara, whereas Tosus understands Rabbi Shimon. But in other words, our previous Mishnah says, Eneyotim mimeno, Rabbi Shimon mina mukhan, correct? That Eneyotim mimeno means all day. But the question is, how about according to Rabbi Shimon? Where Rabbi Shimon is matir, in our case over here, would he agree that Eneyotim mimeno? So he's matir, it says, Rabbi Shimon matir motar Hashemim Shabaner. He's matir motar Hashemim Shabaner. He should allow you to use what's in the Ka'ara. So Tosus explains that there may, as long as it is dolay, there is still a concept of mukta here. And this leads us to yet another level of mukta, which is called mukta machmat mitzvah. Something was set aside for a mitzvah. We're familiar with this from the dinim of Sukkah, in which the schach becomes also the entire time. As a matter of fact, Tosfot is bothered by why don't we answer something by definition the whole Shabbat, the way we would answer it when it comes to Noi Sukkah. And has to be machalik between the two. So, but let's keep that in mind as well, which is yet a fourth issue here. And therefore, when Rabbi Shimon says, while it's dolay, despite the fact that Rashi over here actually is mefarish in Rabbi Shimon, that while it's dolek, it's asur because of the yisur of kivui, we'll see that that's not the whole story. And in fact, there are mefarshei Rashi who point out that very often, this is important cloud to know, particularly Tosfos Yontov points this out, that very often Rashi will be mefarish asugya at the beginning when he's giving a pirush of a Mishnah or a Braita, according to the first assumptions of the Gemara. Because he's basically introducing you to what it is you would think. He does not mean to say that this is the way to understand the Braita in the end. This is the way to understand the Mishnah, which is why when they print Mishnayot with the Pirush of Rashi on it, it's very misleading. Because Rashi's not telling you the Pshat in the Mishnah. He's telling you the surface Pshat in the Mishnah, which the Gemara is then going to examine. So on the surface, Rabbi Shimon is just saying, look, it's burning. I mean, obviously, you're not allowed to move it because you may put it out and you're going to be over an Isser. So therefore, the Isser Asers. But actually, we'll see that the Isser Asers because of Mukta, even where there's no Chashash on this particular thing, such as, for instance, the Nair that dripped down into another Ka'ara where there's no Chashash of Kibwe. Turn around on it. The Braita now expands the machloket here between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama, who is Rabbi Yehuda, into yet another mandiyon. Letzatalin ner chadash avalo yashan divi Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we now know that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol haneirot betzatalin, chutz ben haner shehidliku bo b'shabbat. That's interesting. Rabbi Meir doesn't require that the ner be burning in order to be asur. All he says is if the ner had been lit at Shabbat, you can't use it at all. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chutz ben haner hadolek b'shabbat. Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not the point. It's as long as it's lit. Now, ostensibly, that's because you're not allowed to use it because you may put it out. But the moment that it goes out, if it's kafta, mutar letaltala. Once it goes out, you can move it. Now, this is not like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rabbi Meir. So we have now three shitot. So in other words, Rabbi Meir agrees to muktzah machmas isur. And what he's saying is, well, since it was mukta because of its isur, that defines its status for Shabbat. Its status doesn't change. It now enters Shabbat as something that's miyufat for isur. You're not going to be able to use it on Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon says, it's, again, what it appears he's saying is, it's not a function of mukta, it's a function of the chashash of kibui. If the fire goes out, then there's no problem of kibui. Again, I stress, at this point, that's what it appears Rabbi Shimon is saying. We'll see about that. We'll see. Because if it means that, of course, it wouldn't be important that it was Shabbat. The idea is that it's set aside for lighting, that would have been true about Bechol as well. But we'll see about that idea of Hazmana. What a shame.
No, it had been.
A whole introduction to Prosh.
I meant like if it was done 5 weeks ago for Shabbos.
But it doesn't matter, because what's the difference if it was done for Shabbos or for Rosh Chodesh? Or for a wake? I mean, well, who cares why it was done? Kapta, however, says Rabbi Shimon, once the nair goes out, mutar l'taltala. Aval. Kos v'ka'arava ashashit. However, even Rabbi Shimon agrees, if you have a large container or a lamp which you lit, it is unlikely that that lamp is going to go out over Shabbat, and therefore lo yizizein mimekoman, even according to him, when the fire goes out. Now we're going to try to figure out what the difference is between these cases of a lamp or of a lantern as opposed to a lamp. What's the difference between a lantern or a lamp? The Gemara is going to ask this, and we'll explore it. The Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now we have a fourth shita. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon says, surprisingly, you're even allowed to take the oil out of a burning lamp as long as it's going out, because since it's now sputtering and about to go out, it's not going to burn this oil, and therefore the oil is not omed for fuel, and you're not changing anything in removing it, and therefore mistapeg minaner hakava, that is going out, umina shemen hamitaftef, and from oil that is dripping out because it's already out of there, afil bishashan ner dolay, even though it is currently burning, which means that he's saying that if there's no chashash of actual kibui, then there's no isur. Now, we thought that that's what Rabbi Shimon means. It now becomes evident that that's not what Rabbi Shimon means, and that actually Rabbi Eliezer for Rabbi Shimon is taking things a step further. We have four shittos. Omer Abaye, actually Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Sovar l'Kavu Abachada, he agrees with his father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in one element. He disagrees with him in another element. So first of all, he obviously agrees with his father that the fact that something had been set aside doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to use it on Shabbat. He even argues, because he takes it further, Rabbi Shimon himself holds that only if it already went out, because all he says is Mutar Shemen Shebener. That's all Rabbi Shimon ever said. The leftovers, meaning the leftovers after it went out, but certainly not while it's burning. He holds, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon holds, even if it hasn't gone out, there's no element of muksa at all, even machmat isur. Aval. Now, you said that the case of a lantern, or of a large cup, or a bowl, a kos v'ka'arava shashit, lo yizizein mimekoman. That seems to be saying that even Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you can move the lamp once it's out, would agree that you can't move a lantern. Now, obviously, that's even once it's out. What's the difference between a lamp and a lantern? Marishnahani. Omarula says, there can't be a difference. I mean, a lamp is a lantern, is a kos, is a kara. Who cares what it looks like? Therefore, we'll have to say that the closing piece here must have been going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Maskifama says, that's absurd. What do you mean it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda? It says aval. What's the but? According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no but. Obviously, we're saying, Rabbi Shimon says, you can move a ner, but, yes, you can't move a lantern. Okay, I won't understand the but. Tell me how a lantern is different. Ela, Omar Masutra, obviously, li olam, it's Rabbi Shimon. We're going to have to say that because Shori Rabbi Shimon, the only place where Rabbi Shimon was matir was with a ner, which is zuta. It's small enough to be assumed that it's going to go out. So in 4 or 5 hours, you expect to have a ner available for use. But if you're lighting a lantern or a bowl, when you put a wick into it, and that can burn for the next 48 hours, you have then actually, even according to Rabbi Shimon, put this out of mind, out of place, and that's truly itkatsoi, even according to him.
This is source for readjusting the timer and turning back off the time.
No.
Or moving the lamp when it's lit?
Moving the lamp when it's lit may involve you in the Isur, not a Mukta, because there's a chash of moving the fuel and therefore changing the amount of fuel.
Electric lamp today.
Oh, an electric lamp.
Right.
This Mishnah is talking about that Isur, something which is doing something which you can't do, is Mukta Matmas Isur. Yes, very much so. However, the question of the Shabbos clock is a different question. That's a Goroma. If you view it that you're causing something to go off, something to go on at Shabbat. And what is mutar in terms of a causal effect, opposed to being direct cause, secondary cause?
It's sort of like taking the candle.
Not the Shabbos clock. Shabbos clock is a different question.
Why should a lamp go out and get oil?
That's the whole point. So since it's a lantern, it has a large storage capability for oil, and it's meant to burn for a long time. A ner is usually something that burns for 4 or 5 hours, and then it goes out, which means that in the morning.
Then it goes out and there's no more oil.
That's true.
So why should we go
Although, I mean, I must tell you, in Hogwarts, we had all kinds of things that just kept on burning. No, we're not talking about wax. Forget about wax.
As long as there's oil, it'll burn for 3 days. Why should it go out?
I'm sure it'll burn for 8 days.
Sometimes the light will go out, even though there's still oil left. So
I don't understand what your problem is.
If there's oil, why does it go out?
There isn't oil.
Oil
burns. When the lamp burns, believe it or not, that gooey stuff disappears.
The lantern has so much oil, why did it go out?
Oh, are you asking why the lantern went out?
It went out.
Oh, you know why. They got you again. For whatever reason. To frustrate you. There was a big wind. So, therefore, what we see here is that according to Rabbi Shimon, even though I cannot use the ner as it's burning, but since I have in mind that this ner is going to be available, so I'm thinking, look, tomorrow morning, am I going to be able to take it off so I can put on a different tablecloth? Sure, it's not going to be burning tomorrow morning, what's the problem? So that's only true when it comes to a ner, which usually will go out by the morning. But if I have something which, when I lit it, the intent was for it to burn all day, so then, indeed, it's out of sight, out of mind, so to speak, that I'm not thinking about using it anymore. Over there, even Rabbi Shimon is moda, which is a tremendous finish. That ki kashari Rabbi Shimon b'ner zuta. Rabbi Shimon is only moda on something where part of your mind is aware of the fact that this will be later usable. Therefore, it's not muktzah, because muktzah is an impact on your mind and intent. Aval hani d'nefishe. These cases in which you have a large storage of shemen, when something goes out because of aliens, it's not what you were figuring was going to happen. Usually, for these kind of things, it's gremlins, actually. It's not aliens. But whatever it is that did it, your intent was not to use it. And therefore, I agree, says Rabbi Shimon, that's a sort.
Like a Yorkside candle that you know is going to be more than all of Shabbos. But if it goes out in the middle for some reason.
You can't take it.
Because it's going to go all day.
Right. So in other words, he's moda that you go and light something that's meant to burn all day, and you've put it out of mind.
My question was, how can he say he knows it'll go out before he knows?
No, that's what I thought you were asking, so then I don't understand. You know that it'll go out because the liquid stuff disappears as it burns. This is amazing. He must never put in gasoline in his car. Now I understand how he has the money to buy all those keys.
So there'll be nothing there anyway. What's the argument?
What do you mean nothing there? We're talking about a lamp, not a candle. There's a lamp there. I want to use the lamp to give chocolates tomorrow morning. Pass it around. It doesn't have anything in it, but it had a fire in it yesterday. It says Rabbi Shimon should use it today. What's the problem? If the intent was this thing had enough oil, it was going to burn all day, even without miracles. So then there's none. This is not the Pach HaShemen. It's just a man. Can you tell us your secret? But if we can do this in large scale, we can end our dependency on the Arabs. As the Gemara, you're claiming that Rabbi Shimon is Meida, that when you know or intend that it's going to burn, that then he agrees that it's Asur? V'atanya mutar HaShemen Shebeder v'Shebekara Asur v'Rabbi Shimon Matir. So, Shebekara? Kara is a big, big container. And apparently, he says, as long as the fire has gone out, even though it could have burnt all day, is what he seems to say, then it would be okay. No. There we're not talking about a large Kara that is burning for all day. There, look, you have to see it in context. I mean, there it says Kara in the same sentence as Ner. Here it says Kara in the same sentence as Kos and as lanterns, right? So it's a different type of Kara. Over there it's talking about a Kara to me the Ner. Also Kara to me the Kos. So again, it's all a function of what you had in mind that you might be able to use it on Shabbat.
Kara would mean the thing I believe with the
No, Kara, it's Mamisha Kara, where you, even if you lit the Kara, it doesn't matter. That's what's bothering you, because I mean, otherwise I don't need to mention it. You know, certainly if it's in there, it's kosher with the Kara. Omer Rebbe Zera, Pamot Shehedliko B'Shabbat, Shehedliko B'Shabbat. On the other hand, if you have a Pamot, now a Pamot is made out of metal. That's what we call the candlestick. As a matter of fact, Rebbe Nissim Gaon, it describes our Pamot. It's like a menorah, but it only has one piece. So in other words, it's a stand, essentially, right? What we call a candlestick. Except that, of course, you didn't put a candle wax. That's the somebody outside turned on your country. That is not talking about a wax stick. We're talking about over here again, using our lamp in a metal hamot. And there we come into a different situation. There, what's the halacha? And when you light a hamot, l'divrei ha-matir asur, l'divrei ha-oser mutar. Now, this is interesting. What does this mean? Rashi learns that l'divrei ha-matir means Rabbi Meir, who said before that kol ha-neirot metaltalim, chutz min ha-ner shidliku b'shabbat. So that, in other words, according to Rashi, we're avoiding now the discussion of Rabbi Shimon. And all that it's saying basically over here is that if you say that I have now a ner, and this Rabbi Meir means even an old candle of Cheres, correct? An old candle of Cheres, I'm allowed to use. So I don't hold a muktzeh machmas mi'us. He, in this case, where you have a divrei hamatir, in this case he would be meida. Why? Because in this case you have hidliku is muktzeh machmas yisur. Now you understand the problem in this, because the case that Rabbi Meir was talking about is chutz min haner shidliku bo b'shabbat. And the case that it's talking about over here in Padmot is also talking about shidliku bo b'shabbat. And therefore to say with divrei hamatir oser is a little bit strange, because there where Rashi is forced to focus on the words of Rabbi Meir, which are, but of course if you hadn't had it lit on Shabbat on the Ner Haferes, I don't care about the fact that it's ma'us. I only care about the fact that it's burning. Okay, so that I agree to, Muktzamach Masisr, but I agreed to that before. I mean, that was Rabbi Meir in the first bride. He also said, I agree that if it's burning, that you're not allowed to use it. Okay, so we'll have to say, since the case over here is Pamot Shehid Liku, that's the case. And the other case was Mitzatul and even Ner Yashan Chutz Min Aner Shehid Liku. So this is just another way of saying, even though I agree that there's no din of mukta machmas mius, I hold that there is such a thing as mukta machmas isur. That's what it would be saying. And on the other hand, the divrei ha-oser, Rashi understands as, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said before that mukta machmas mius is asur, in this case, if it was a pamut, he would say, well, here it's okay, because the only problem is that it's burning. That's mukta machmas isur. I don't hold the mukta machmas isur. I only hold the mukta machmas mius. Okay. Yes, according to Rashi, the assertion now of Rabbi Zera is that Rabbi Yehuda, although he says in the Mishnah that you cannot move an old lamp that's made out of porcelain, you can move one that's made out of metal. Why is that? Even if it was lit on Shabbos, because the fact that it was lit doesn't bother me. It's the fact that it was disgusting that bothers me. But if you're using a metal lamp, then who cares if it was lit? It's not disgusting. So if it's going to go out, as soon as it's out, use it for whatever you want. Nothing wrong with it. So therefore, Rashi is saying that Rabbi Zera is asserting that Rabbi Yehuda only holds a mukta machmas mius and does not hold a mukta machmat isur. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, does not hold a mukta machmas mius and only holds a mukta machmas isur. So we end up with inverted shitot, and that's the whole point, says Rashi, the Gemara is making. The one who says it's usher says this would be mutter, and the one who says that that's mutter would say that this is usher, and that's the point that Rabbi Zera is making. That it's fascinating that we should have an inversion of the svara. I mean, it's one thing to say, I hold this much and you hold more. To invert it and say, well, the thing that you say is mutter, I hold is usher, but the thing that I hold is usher, you say is mutter, is a little bit strange. And that's where Rabbi Zera is coming to talk about. According to which, this has no implications for Rabbi Shimon whatsoever. We're contrasting here Rabbi Meir Shita with Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So learns Rashi. Tosfos does not like this pshat at all. And he could, by the way, I'll discuss that later. So, I mean, he asks the obvious question, which we pointed out ourselves. It's no chiddush to tell me what Rabbi Meir Shita is. Legabe muktzamach v'sisur. He said so, the Farish, in the first braita. So what's Rabbi Zera? Oh, by the way, I just want you to know, even though he said metatal in Ner Yashan, but you wouldn't be able to be metatal even upon a pamot that's burning, well, obviously, he said so. You said, if it's burning, you can't. So I understand, what is the point of making such a statement? That's exactly what Rebbe Meir said. I don't need Rebbe Zeira to point out that Rebbe Meir holds a Muktzah Machmas Isur and not a Muktzah Machmas Muktzah. So that whole piece of Rebbe Zeira doesn't do anything, according to Rashi. Therefore, it's very strange. And comes along, therefore, Tosfot, and he has a completely different shot in the Divrei HaMatir and the Divrei HaOser, in which Rebbe Zeira is actually saying something about Rebbe Shimon as well. And the Rabbi Nochanano goes along with this shot of the Rabbi Nochanano. And he says as follows. So Divrei HaMatir always is a reference to the one who is Matir Muktzah entirely. That is to say, Rebbe Shimon. So even Rebbe Shimon would agree that when you have a pamot, because a pamot is large, so basically he is now stating the difference between lamps and nerot. So because you have a large pamot, it's the equivalent of the ashashim, or it's the equivalent of a kos, and therefore he would agree that in that case, as we said, that it would be asur. L'divrei ha'oser, referring to the two other shitot, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who ushered both of them and this is a whole different way of looking at the sugya, who ushered both of them a ner cheres shidliku, comes along Rabbi Zeira to say, that's not because hidliku. It's because there's a combination of mius and iser. But don't think that the iser alone would have been enough. That's the point that it's making. So when we said over here that a ner cheres shidliku b'otor Shabbat, and you thought, well, that means, of course, because it's burning. No, it doesn't mean because it's burning. It means because, in addition to being Moses, it's burning. But when you're talking about the Pamot, over there, they would essentially hold what Rabbi Shimon holds, the Gavi and the Erekaris. So that they would be Moda, that in this case, where you're left with Isra alone, the moment that it stops burning, you could actually use this because it's made out of metal. Right. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir would be matir after it's gone out, because it doesn't have the Muktzah Machmas Mius component. It only has the Muktzah Machmas Iser. And that isn't enough. So there Rabbi Zeira is making a tremendous chiddush. What's the svara of putting together two separate Muktzahs?
No, saying that you need both of them. One of them is not enough.
Well, I mean, the only place where we find them saying it is where it's me. Muktzah Machmas Mius is Rabbi Zeira. Is that a coincidence? Well, they're obviously not saying the Mius per se is us, sir. As far as problematic to say that there should be a co-joining of various factors that make something already out of mind. Look, I'm willing to go along with, you know, maybe I'll put a piece of silver foil over it, but I mean, if it's also Isser, I mean, I forget about it.
It doesn't require a piece of silver foil. If Mius alone should be enough to say it's Mius, if most of Mius should be enough to be the whole thing.
Everybody's agreed that you don't necessarily say that, because it's possible to hold that Isser is worse than Mius, or that Mius is worse than Isser. Right, so it's not, that's Rashi's judge. I mean, it's not. You didn't object then. Why do you object now? Same. So why is this so strong? Anyway, you're going to have to make relative determinations, right? So once you have to make a relative determination, it means that you don't have a blanket yes or no question in terms of Muktzah. If you're ready to agree to that, then it's just clearly possible to conceive of a combination of factors which, put together, is enough to put you over the edge, so to speak.
How can the Isur and the Mius be on the same level?
Who said it's on the same level? All we're trying to analyze, look, the bottom line is that Muktzah itself is a careful measurement of to what extent such a thing remains part of your conscious vision of what's available to you. What pushes it over the edge into the neverland of Muktzah? That's a machloket. Something which can be used. Tainus Revishin. If it can be used, it's never over the edge. Because if I think that the fire is going to be going out on Shabbos, why would it be over the edge? If I think that I might use it for some other purpose, why would it be over the edge? Yes, if I set it aside and I specifically don't intend to use it, then it's over the edge. Even I agree. We'll see there are many cases in which Rabbi Shimon agrees that there's a Muktzah. But the norm that we discuss over here, just because it's Moses, or just because it's us, or so on and so forth. Why does that mean? What, am I stupid? I don't know the difference between the possible usages and the impossible usages. If it's impossible, because it's going to be burning all day, and the strong likelihood, as you yourself pointed out, is that if there isn't a gremlin around, it's going to be burning. So in economy, that pushes it over the edge. You know, all we're saying is put together the elements of, you don't really want to use this thing, do you? It's pretty disgusting. You never know. It's like the man who's not going to throw something out, you know, the collector. It's exactly the same idea. At what point are you ready to throw something in the garbage? It hasn't been used for 5 years. Is that enough of a reason? No. Probably as soon as I throw it out, I'm going to need it. Which, of course, is what always happens. But now it also got dirty. Now, this happens all the time. I usually wash it, but I think to myself, you know, I haven't used it in 5 years. It's taking up space. It's dirty. You know what? The heck with it. And you actually dump it into the garbage. But usually the women go around it, adding that extra factor. They make it dirty, put it in a package or whatever. Now, that way you figure, oh, they'll get you to release it, you know. Okay, so, I mean, those kind of things, we meet them every day. It's not so strange that we should put together that.
Who's still alive based on this phosphorus?
Well, we don't remain with this.
For
what? For combinations? Oh, yeah, MOOCs is very complex in terms of what we take into consideration, for sure. No. So according to Tosis, we are making a comment about Rebbe Shimon. And in fact, the comment is similar to what we've already established, that if you actually intend to burn this pamut because it's large, then enough inami, you got a problem. The reason, of course, that Rashi doesn't really like this very much is because Rashi says in Manachas, if for the word pamot, kli katan. So he couldn't possibly. And he said, this is a norak tana. That's the meaning of a pamot. So he's certainly not going to say that Rabbi Zeira is saying that a pamot is a lantern and therefore it's going to burn the whole time. So to him, it's out of it. That's not a possible approach. Ask the Gemara. So, are you now telling me that Rabbi Yehuda, the name of the Rabbi Yehuda, Muktzim, Akbet, Mius, Ifle? Are you ready? It really works. I mean, you can scare the cough on. Are you really claiming that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Muktzim, Machmas, Mius is the Muktzim that he holds up, but Muktzim, Machmas, Isur, Ledle? That's not true. Vatani, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer. Kol ha-neirot shel matechet mitaltalim. Because there's no problem of mius, chutz min haner shehidliku bo b'shabbat. Unless at one point this metal lamp had been lit. No. So what's wrong with moving a metal lamp that had been lit that is not currently lit? Unless he holds mutzim akbas isur, so don't give me this business of his holding, according to Tosis, only of a combination of mutzim and mius, of isur and mius, according to Rashi, only of mius, not of isur, whatever. He certainly holds that isur alone is sufficient reason to answer something as mukts. Therefore, forget it. Rabbi Zeir couldn't have said such a thing. I mean, you'd have to be completely ignorant of how the Braita describes Rabbi Yehuda. Ela yitmar hachi yitmar. You misunderstood Rabbi Zeir. What Rabbi Zeir said was, Omer Rabbi Zeir, pamochi idliku alav b'shabbat, divrei hakol asur. Lo idliku alav, divrei hakol mutar. So what we're saying is, if you have a candlestick, a pamot, that is clean, everybody agrees that it's not muktzah, including Rabbi Yehuda. What we mean when we say not muktzah, again, doesn't mean that you can stomp pick up a candlestick. Not muktzah means not muktzah in the sense that it's unusable. If you want to use it for something, you can use it, as long as it wasn't lit this Shabbos. On the other hand, where you have something that yayidliku alav b'shabbat, yayidliku alav, according to the Tosfos, this means because of the fact that Tamot is large enough to continue to burn. According to Rashi, it isn't referring to Rabbi Shimon anyways, it's not a problem. So if you have something that was meant to burn, even though it's made out of metal, even Rabbi Shimon is voted, then it's aser. In practical terms, you should know that there are a lot of discussions about our candlesticks and their status, which span the entire spectrum, because the truth is our candlesticks are not really usable for anything else. Except beating someone over the head or something like that. And then they usually will break, so you won't want to do it with that. Yeah, so that's the question. So there are shitas that hold that it's similar to Muktzah Machmas Isur on Kis, because you wouldn't use it for anything, and therefore it's totally awesome, is manazeh. There's others that hold exactly the opposite. In other words, that since it's anyway only going to function as a basis, it's not even lit in, so it's not even a klisha malakta liyisur. Because what's wrong with it? You use it for anything at all at this point, including decorations. And even if it's holding decorative candles, well, what's wrong with that? You can have decorations on Shabbat. There's no essential issue associated with decorations. Okay, so as I say, it runs the gamut between Kalisha Malachal Liyisr, which is right in the middle, Kalisha Malachal Liyisr. On the other hand, it's even a Kalisha Malachal Heter, or maybe it's even Muktzah B'Machmas Isur and Kisur, because Kilu Shemiyachadol for Tzorach, that would only be for Isur. So we'll see more about the things that need to be taken into consideration later for what we call a Pamot. But here, the Pamot had on it a dish, basically. We use it as a serving dish and so on. So we treat it the same way we treat the lamp shell pharos, except for the meat squish. Omer Rav Yud Amar Rav, Mita sheyichadah lema'ot, asur l'taltama. Now this is now introducing a new question. We have a bed. A bed, generally speaking, is useful for riches. But suppose you want to use it for riches. So you have a bed that you want to set aside for keeping things on, as I must be made, it happens in my house, in which you keep all your accounts on the bed because there's no room anywhere else to keep anything. So now this becomes the mita that you were miyake for keeping things on it, but you're not able to be the telltale. So you're going to have money on it. Surprisingly, it says over here, asur l'taltala, which implies that the very fact that I've decided that this bed is going to be used for that purpose, despite the fact that it's not currently being used for this purpose, and despite the fact that perhaps it was never used for this purpose, it was just an intent, that an intent is sufficient to... You're treading dangerous, dangerous waters.
Sufficient to
a tent.
An intent.
An air conditioned tent? Intent alone would be sufficient to create a state of muksa, which is, this is like, in a sense, the ultimate muksa. Because what we're saying is, look, since muksa is a function of mind anyway, maybe we should ignore the kli entirely. Don't even look at the kli. What's the difference what the kli is? You say it's a bed. Aha! But does he intend to use it? No. He would never use this bed because it's a money bed. Money beds are not good for Shabbos. So here we have a really extreme statement. Asks the Gemara, are you trying to say that intent alone is sufficient? Meiser Nagra Yitzchak, it says in the Mishnah, Metatalim Ner Chadash Avolo Yashan. Now this is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda so far is the maximalist when it comes to Moses, right? And he says, if it's new, it's not a problem. Now, I mean, the only difference between it's new and old, then, is the mius. You know perfectly well when you made this lamp that it's going to be used for lamp purposes. But the standard is lamps to burn, certainly including a case like that, because it's making a general statement. So you can take a lamp that has been manufactured for as a lamp, has been purchased as a lamp, and it's fully intended to use it as a lamp, but it hasn't as yet been used. And therefore, there's no problem. Now, you're coming along and saying, oh, no, wait a minute. Even a bed that you intended to use as a lamp, you can't use. Kosher gain, a lamp? So you're running against the Mishnah. Who's the Shita that you're saying? So Meisrei, Nachum Bar Yitzchak, our Mishnah says, Metatul Ner Chadash Ava Lo Yashan. So ask yourself, my dear friend, if a Ner, which is manufactured for a purpose, in which the intent is evident to the Kli itself, nonetheless isn't Muktzah, you want to isolate the intent factor and ignore the Kli? That's crazy. You're doing it against an open Mishnah. So ma ner delachi avida, if a ner which was made for this purpose, nonetheless ki lo idlik bashari, it still is perfectly okay to use it if it had not as yet been used. Because after all, says Rashi, and we're going to talk about this diak in a moment, because after all, says Rashi, the Mishnah says yashan, but not chadash, and not chadash, I mean, ostensibly would mean, even though there was the full intent of using it. That's what I would think. Nonetheless, if you haven't actually used it, you're allowed to use it for something else. Show it to like. So a mita, which generally is used for riches, and the lavlav, I mean, it's not meant for riches. No kosher gain that your intent alone, without having put any money on it, should be insufficient to call it a kli of muksa, doesn't add up what you're saying. It can't, I mean, it's impossible. I'll eat my off you tomorrow. The statement must have been this. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Mita sheyichadah lema'ot. Assuming that you had actually intended to set aside a bed for the uses of banking. Hiniach alei ma'ot asur l'taltala. Having once used it for that purpose, it now becomes indeed a money bed, and you're not allowed to move it. Lo iniach alei ma'ot mutar l'taltala. But as long as you never put money on it, your intent alone is not sufficient to define the kli. On the other hand, if there was no specific intent, lo yichdal lema'od, then it depends on the circumstances. Yesh alei ma'od. If there's currently money on the bed, then the bed becomes a base to the money. This introduces a new concept called a basis, the davar ha'asur. So we now have a base for something which itself is not meant to be moved, and therefore you can't move the bed. But as long as there's currently no currency on the bed, then there's no problem of moving it. Oh, you're wondering about that. Why do they call it currency?
Yeah, but moving it, can I sleep on it?
This is an interesting question. This is a very interesting question, which we're about to get to on the top of the next stop, which means that you're giving me a heads to move on to that topic. I need to address the question. No, he's sleeping on the job.
What's the distinction here between Yachta and Moya? It seems like...
Because Yichtan turns the bed itself into Mukta, not a Basis. It's now permanently set aside to be used for Mukta purposes. That I understand.
No,
turns the bed, even when there's no money on it, into a money bed.
But if it says Mukta, there's no money on it.
No, if you never put money... Which case are you talking about? First or the second?
I'm just asking between the first and the second.
The first case is if it was never had money on it. Here it's talking about if there's currently no money on it. Do you think that this is why they call it currency? Because of the dinner of Moksha we're having
Yuta?
That's
why they put money on the mattress.
But it's turned from the Petora into Peturta anyway. How is it? So this wouldn't work. You're giving away too much information. No, underneath is not a problem. Muktzah doesn't become a basis for the bed. The bed can become a basis for the muktzah. And we're about to get to such a case. Now, even though there's currently no currency on the bed, it still would be usur if there was money left on it during the entire Bein HaShemashot. So that defines its status, which is called Migud Yitkatzai LeBein HaShemashot. Because it was now set aside from use on the onset of Shabbat, it's no longer usable for Shabbat. So, Lusha lo hayu aleha bein hashmashot, only in circumstances in which it wasn't there the entire Shabbat.
Why is this different than the lamp that you know is going to go out? Let's say you know that the money will brush it off at someone you expect.
Maybe we're not talking about Rabbi Shimon here. How do you know we're talking about Rabbi Shimon? We'll have to examine this issue still. Omar Ula. Ula asks from the following case. Moshe Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer somehow, Rabbi Eliezer asked from the Mishnah in Kalim. Now, the Mishnah in Kalim has nothing to do with our sugya, but we're bringing it in because of an implication in our sugya. And that is, if you're talking about a vehicle, normally a vehicle, you can separate the mechanical part of the vehicle from the place in which you sit or put things in the vehicle. So generally speaking, you can detach the engine from a vehicle, or to take out the wheels from a wagon, and so on and so forth. We therefore, legabi dinim of tumah v'tayra, we can measure the mechanism separately from the container space. Why is it important to measure? Because as you've already seen a number of times, a kli made out of eights, and let's assume this is made out of eights the way Rashi does, a kli made out of eights actually will not be makabel tumah if it's not metatel malevarikah. We talked about before the Boris Svina Alexandris, the water cistern on large boats and so on. And the reason over there we had to measure it, we talked about the Kurai and the Yavesh and so on. The reason we had to measure it was because if it's too big, it's not movable. And if it's not movable, it's not included in Kalim. Because H is put together with the din of sack, and sack means, by definition, a container. A sack container can be moved. That's the point of it. Now, the question is, how do I measure, let us say, what was it used? A plane called? Goose? What was it called? A floating goose? Howard uses plane.
Oh,
the spruce goose. Thank you. The spruce goose. There we go. How would we measure the spruce goose? Is it Kurayim B'Yavesh? Oh boy, was it. But anyway, generally speaking, you make an airplane out of spruce. Look, man, what do you mean you don't understand? This is Howard Hughes. This is American stuff. This is not South African stuff. They don't have airplanes made out of wood in South Africa. But in the Gemara, you have airplanes made out of wood. And that's exactly our case over here, which is the Ohel Zaruk, if you want to fly over a Beit HaKvarot. And you're a Kohen. Can you fly in a wooden airplane over a Beit HaKvarot, since wood in an airplane would be Mekabel Tumah? If it's Mekabel Tumah, it's not Chotzeit B'fnei HaTumah. And this was a major shaila about how it uses spruce goose. What are you going to do if that thing flies over a Beit HaKvarot and you're a Kohen? Now, this is what the Mishnah comes to discuss. So how do you measure? It's interesting, but this really is. That's true. So how do you measure the size of this thing? What you do is you imagine it's a container that contains it. Because the thickness of its walls and so on are also measured in the shear that we need to measure. So now, do you include the engines in this measurement? That's the shayla. Says the Mishnah in Kalim, if the engines are removable, they're not included. So if you can take off the muchani, if you take off the machine part, then the muchani shalom, the zman she'i nishmetet, as long as it's removable, in chiborla, it's not considered to be part of the kli. And if, in fact, that the plane itself would be tame, the mechanisms would not become tame. So if you have a stagecoach or something, only the coach part will be tame, and not the wheels or anything else that's attached to it. Furthermore, in nimdedet imah, if you're trying to see the size of the stagecoach, don't put the wheels in. If the wheels are detachable, only measure the coach. Furthermore, the in matzelet imah ba'ol hamit. Therefore, if you're flying over a beit akvarot, you cannot use the muchani to prevent tumah from penetrating into something. In other words, let's imagine a case in which the coach, somebody has left a suitcase hanging on the outside of the coach. The suitcase itself would be makabel tumah. The coach itself, if it's large, is not makabel tumah, because it's larger than the kurayim biyavesh. And therefore, anything which is not makabel tumah is chotzeitz bifnei atumah. Assuming, and this is why I make the airplane connection, assuming that flight does not cancel the din of ohel, which is a big machlokes. And that's called ohel zoruk. So if you have a flying or moving surface, there is some who hold that it's not an ohel at all. But let's assume that it is. And therefore, the only reason here that it would not be chotzis would be if it's makabel tumah. Since it's large, it's not makabel tumah. So if people inside, you have kohanim inside, they could drive through a beit akvarot without concern for getting tumah. But how about the suitcase that's hanging outside? Now, the fenders that extend over the wheels are extending outwards. This is a very old-fashioned automobile. And it covers, basically, the graves under the suitcase. So you would say, aha, so we have over here the wheel part is going to prevent the tumah from getting to the suitcase. No, it won't. Because that part is not included in the midah, which is too large to be a makabel tumah, and therefore will not be chotzeitz with bifnei atumah. All right. Now, what's more is, in dorino tabi Shabbat, you can't move it on Shabbat, bizman sheyesh aleha ma'ot. So if you have now money on this, you took off the engine part, the mechanism, so that you now want to move it. Now the place where it connects to the coach is the Beit Kibul. You put down money on it. So you can't move it. It says over here, bizman sheyesh aleha ma'ot. But that's clearly saying that ha'ein aleha ma'ot sharia. Here it implies that if there was no money on it, you can move it, even though it doesn't mention the question of when the money is, only mentions its current circumstance. Is there currently money on it or not? That's all I need to know. How do you explain that? I thought you said that one condition of this bed, this money bed, being movable, is that there wasn't money on it during Bein HaShemashot. And here we don't distinguish between such a case. That's going to go into Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon doesn't hold a mutzah of this kind. So if it's going to go into Rebbe Shimon, then I don't make this distinction between being on there before or not. But Rab, who is the author of this, Tomer of Yerama Rab, he holds like Rebbe Yehuda. And by the way, it's clear that he holds like Rebbe Yehuda because of his opinion about sleeping on this bed. Here's where we get to that question. Because the Rav Rav Yudhisvira, it's mistaber that indeed he does. We're just not making this up, pulling it out of a hat. Because Rav says, if you want to hang your ner of Shabbat on a tree, you can do so. But not on Yontif. So, menich ner agabi dekel b'Shabbat. Ein menichim ner agabi dekel b'Yom Tov. Now, tell me what the difference is between Shabbat and Yom Tov. Well, Yomit b'Shalem and Rav Rav Yudhisvira. If Rav holds like Rav Yudha, then the difference is obvious. When that fire goes out on the dekel, you're not going to be able to do anything with the lamp, and therefore there's no chashash that you may use the dekel on Shabbat and take the lamp on and off of the dekel. At least that's what it seems to be saying. which would imply that there is an iser when it talks about using mechuber on Shabbat. There is an iser of taking a lamp off of a tree. Not everybody agrees with such a thing. And of course, we find the same situation with muktzah. We talk about muktzah. Is it using muktzah? That's usher. It's only moving muktzah. That's usher. So many learn that over here the intent was he may climb the tree in order to get the nair. But whatever the case is, if the altar of Yehuda, on Yontif he'd be allowed to take the nair, and therefore we're afraid he'll use the tree in whatever type of use is usher. On Shabbat, we're not afraid he'll use the tree. But if the altar of Rebbe Shimon, Eliyahu Rebbe Shimon severely, Mali Shabbat, Mali Yom Tov. What's the difference whether it's Shabbat or Yom Tov, I ask you? You can use the nair on Shabbat exactly the same way as you can use it on Yom Tov. You just have to wait till it goes out. But if Rav is worried about using the tree on Yom Tov, why is he worried about using the tree on Shabbat? Elamai must be that he holds like Rebbe Yehuda. And therefore, we now... Chutz min haner hadolek b'Shabbat. Tanu Rabbanan. Metzaltan ner chadash avalo yashan divir Rebbe Yehuda. Yimeir omer kol haner metzaltan chutz min haner shidliku bo b'Shabbat. Rebbe Shimon omer chutz min haner hadolek b'Shabbat. At the moment that it's kofta, mutar v'taltala. Avokos ke'arav ashashit lo yedizein mimekoman. Rebbe Shimon omer mistapek min haner akava even while it's burning. In that less lame book. So, but he takes it a step further. Then, yes, but low kava low. Whereas, you savar afar gav the low kava, you could still use it. Ava, you said, kos vikarava shashit lois is aiming the komam. Why? Marshahani, Omaula will have to say that the Sefer goes back to Rebbe Yehuda. Maskevla Marzutra Yoki, what's the Aval? Elomar Marzutra Li Olam Rabbi Shimon, Vechika Shari Rabbi Shimon, Bener Zuta, the Daiti of Li, Avalhani de Nefishe Lo. Vatanya Motor Hashem and Shibener Vishabekara Asur Rabbi Shimon Matir, and that's a Ka'ara? Yeah, it's a small Ka'ara. Hatam ka'ara dumya de ner. Here we're talking about a large ka'ara dumya de kos. Omer bizera, pamochi li gubo b'shabbat, li divrei hamatir asur, li divrei oser mutar. What? The name of the Rebbe Yehuda, muksa machmat mi'us, eats like a muksa machmat yisur letle, v'tani Rebbe Yehuda omer kol anerot shematechet betachalim, chutz min aner ashid li gubo b'shabbat, which is muksa machmat yisur, ela yitmar ok yitmar, Omer Rebbe Zera, Pamochi Dlikvalov B'Shabbat Divrei HaKol Asur. Lori Dlikvalov Divrei HaKol Mutar. Question whether the Divrei HaKol includes Rabbi Shimon or not, depending on Rashi or Tosfos, which depends on the size of the Pamot, basically. Omer Rebbe Yehuda Omer Rav, Mitashi Yichdal Lema'ot Asur L'Taltal. Neser Nachba Yitzhak, Metaltal Ner Chadash Avalo Yashan. Now ask yourself, Uman ner de la haki avida ki lo hitek vashar de tutula. Mita de lavla ki avida lo koshike. Hela yitmar of yitmar. Om rev yudom rav. Mita shi yifdala ma'od. I niya kalea ma'od. As to the tautala. Lo I niya kalea ma'od. Once, in other words. Mutar le tautala. Lo yifdala ma'od. Then it depends. If there's currently yesh alea ma'od, then it's also the tautala. Ain alea ma'od now. Mutar le tautala. With one caveat, which is Shiloh Yolah Ko Benash Mashot. Omar Ula Mati Rebbe Eliezer, Muchanishala Bismanchi Nishmetet, in Fiburla, Vein Imdetima, Vein Atzeltima Bolamet, Vein Gorino Tabishabat, Bismanchi Yeshaleh Ma'ot. Okay, but Inaleh Ma'ot Sharia, meaning Apagab Daviele Benash Mashot. Yes, leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't know the mitzvah, so it doesn't become mitzvah d'ak bit katsoi. And Rav was the Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's mitzvah d'ak katsoi ben ashmashot. Hachinami v'star with the Rav to Rabbi Yehuda spherally. The Yom HaRav in his king mer agabi dekel b'shabbat, v'minit mer agabi dekel b'yom tov, ma'i amrit b'shlema the Rav to Rabbi Yehuda spherally. Hainu d'shani b'in shabbat b'yom tov. Ela'i amrit k'Rabbi Shimon spherally, and therefore it would be mutter on Shabbos too to use the ner, then you're going to use the tree. So Mali Shabbat, Mali Yom Tov, it should be also in both cases because of possible usages of the tree.